Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The topic of the day seems to be censorship and return of the censors. We're headed in the direction of the suppression of free speech, especially among Christians. We see that Canada right now today has a case before their British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal with a magazine on trial because they wrote in a critical tone against Islam. We see in New Mexico, Christians who don't want to take wedding photos at a homosexual marriage, and they were fined $6,600. And in Colorado, the governor signed SB 200, which actually forbids publishing of material that would tend to discriminate on the basis of cohabitation. Now, speaking of censorship and freedom of speech for Christians, we have with us, it's been quite a few years, from Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, Barry Lynn. Barry, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Yeah, it's nice to be back after all this time. I thought you'd forgotten me.
Yeah, no, Barry.
I'm impossible to forget. I know that.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do that. Your organization, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, yet you advocate that the federal government dictate what churches can or cannot speak about from the pulpit.
Not exactly. No, actually, what we do is we say that in the system we've got right now, in order to get a tax exemption, you have to agree to one thing, and really one thing only, and that is that you will not use your nonprofit, whether that's a church or any other nonprofit charity, you will not use it to endorse or oppose candidates for public office. You can certainly talk about any issue. I certainly know enough about you to know that you are opposed to abortion, that you are opposed to gay marriage. You could say that from the pulpit from now until next Sunday and the Sunday after that. I don't think the IRS is any business. But if you said, vote for Joe Schmo, vote for Susie Smith, and use the resources of your church, then you're violating the very contract you made with the government when you accepted the privilege of a tax exemption in the first place.
And some rights are inalienable. Would you agree with that? Some rights are inalienable? Like, for example,
in a general sense, but for example, a tax exemption isn't,
Barry,
one of them.
For example, the right to life. You can't get paid $1,000 by a movie director to kill you in a scene where a car blows up because we consider that in Western civilization, the right to life is an inalienable right to life, meaning it's non-transferable. You can't transfer that right to a movie director, and it would not be legal for him to give you $1,000 and kill you for the sake of producing a movie because your right to life is inalienable. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's it as far as it goes, but frankly, there are plenty of rights, or there are plenty of commercial transactions that we do allow people to undergo. We do know they're dangerous. We do know they're risky. We do know they're life-threatening. And we say, well, if you take the money, you take your chances.
Well, there might be behaviors or privileges, but rights are fundamentally non-transferable.
Yeah, but what's the right at issue here?
So the right to free
speech.
As
I've explained our position, rights being violated?
The right to free speech.
Oh, but it's not. I mean, it's one of the things that's fundamental is that when the government gives you something, you don't have to take it. No church in this country has to be tax exempt.
Oh, true. And I admire churches that are not.
Yes, actually, so do I, as a matter of fact. What a rare moment of agreement. But if you do accept it, then you got to play by the same rules I have to play by, and the Red Cross has to play by, and every other secular and religious charity.
Now, Barry, you're an ordained minister, right?
Correct.
And not all ministers are in agreement with their worldview, right? Some ministers believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven,
right,
through his death and resurrection.
Yep.
And others say there are many roads.
Right.
That's one example. Some say it's wrong to kill an unborn child. He's made in the image and likeness of God, sucking his thumb, playing with his toes. And others say Planned Parenthood has the right to rip that kid's arm off and kill him. So there are ministers who come from different perspectives.
Yes, there are, and I come from a somewhat different perspective from you. I'd never use the language about what Planned Parenthood advocates, for example, but biblically, obviously, murder is not the same as abortion. We do know that. We do know that Jesus never discussed matters like gay marriage, although he talked about a lot of other things. So, but I would have a different understanding, not only of the text itself, but of the very nature of what the Bible is.
Right.
Go ahead.
Now, Barry, you're an ordained minister with what, the United Church of Christ? Is
correct,
that right?
The United Church of Christ. We've been in the news a bit lately.
Yeah, you have. And I have a take that you use your influence and you try to use the IRS in a very biased way against fundamentalist Bible Christians who advocate the right to life for the unborn and purity until marriage. But you would not be as inclined to file a complaint against a hardcore left-wing church, especially one from your own denomination, United Church of
Christ. Well, you would be wrong about most all of that, because we, even in this election cycle, have filed a complaint about a church in Las Vegas, Nevada, where the minister got up and said, before he introduced Barack Obama, "I'm so excited about this guy. I wish the caucus were today so that I could go and vote for him because he's the next great leader of our country." And then you would have missed the fact that we filed a complaint against one Al Gore for collecting money in that Buddhist temple. In other words, we're equal opportunity complainants when it comes to these issues. 50% of our complaints are directed at churches that have endorsed or supported Democrats for office.
Barry Lynn, today the most high-profile politician in America is Barack Obama, who's a member of the United Church of Christ, your denomination.
Yes.
The most high-profile church in America is Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago with the Reverend Wright.
I don't know about that, but it's up there, yeah.
I submit it as the most high-profile church in America right now and the most political church in America, but it happens to be your own denomination. So have you filed a complaint with the IRS because of the blatant political sermons preached in the pulpit of one of your denominational churches that have been on ABC News and everywhere else for months?
No, because we looked at the whole things. You generally see excerpts when you're watching network news or cable news. We watched all of these sermons that were given by the successor to the Pastor Jeremiah Wright, and didn't think that they, on the basis not of what we think, but of what the IRS has done, what regulations it's issued, it simply didn't cross the line. The whole denomination of the United Church of Christ, as you probably know, was challenged, its tax exemption challenged, and the IRS a few weeks ago said, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. They invited Barack Obama to come as a non-candidate. He said he wouldn't even mention his presidential campaign. This was a year ago. But he did mention it once or twice during his lecture, but that the denomination tried as hard as possible to prevent this from becoming some kind of a rally. And the same way when John McCain or Mike Huckabee, people used to say, Mike Huckabee's in church, you know, you should report him. Well, the truth is Mike Huckabee gave sermons. Barack Obama, when he's in a church like he was last weekend, he gives the sermon. If you don't turn it into a political rally, your church has done nothing wrong.
Barry Lynn, I have the text of Barack Obama's speech from June 23rd, 2007, given at the United Church of Christ. In fact, it's on their official website, ucc.org.
Right.
And he gets through five sentences before he starts talking about running for president. He's a candidate. He speaks of politics repeatedly. I have it all highlighted here. But I'd like you to hear, this is an excerpt from ABC News about the Trinity United Church of Christ and how very political the sermons are. Let's hear this short excerpt.
Reverend Wright has built a large and loyal following at his church, the Trinity United Church of Christ, on Chicago's South Side. And he often uses the gospel to affirm his strong political views. Senator Obama has sought to play down Reverend Wright's overall approach.
I don't think that my church is actually particularly controversial.
During the campaign, the senator has defended what he calls Reverend Wright's social gospel.
He thinks it's important for us to focus on what's happening in Africa.
But an ABC News review of more than a dozen sermons, which are offered for sale by the church, found Reverend Wright going far beyond issues of Africa. He regularly mocks black Republicans as sellouts.
They live below the sea level. They live below the level of Clarence Colin and Condamnesia.
Members of the church say he left a lasting impression on them and Senator Obama.
All right, so here we have a United Church of Christ, Barry, your denomination, that has been overtly and intensely political for 20 years, so much so that one of their congregants is now the Democratic nominee for president. And ABC News, everyone in the country knows that the Reverend Wright used that pulpit all these years to be overtly pro-Democrat, anti-Republican, and you have not filed a complaint against the most political church in the country.
No, because the excerpt you played is a wonderful example of where people have a mistaken idea. I don't happen to like it, but whether a minister who is on the political right ridicules, you know, the former president Bill Clinton, or ridiculed him when he was in office, or Jeremiah Wright ridicules Condoleezza Rice, that's all fair comment. What the IRS is worried about and what we're worried about is when somebody says, now here's the list of people to vote for, guys. These are the good guys. Vote for Smith.
How about mocking every Republican black person for 20 years?
I don't personally do that, but the point is that's within the bounds of the very free speech that you say churches ought to have.
All right, I have in front of me two of your press releases.
Yes.
IRS asked to review Dobson electioneering.
Yep.
And another one about the Colorado Springs Catholic Diocese.
Right.
And you talk about code language. You know, Bishop Sheridan in Colorado Springs, his letter is code language. Well, how about code language of opposing and mocking every Republican black that comes across the headlines for 20 years? Would you say that's code language
to not vote for Republicans? No, absolutely nothing.
I think that's hypocritical.
It's not code, it's direct. He says it. He makes fun of Condoleezza Rice. Again, I wouldn't do it. I don't speak that way. But he does. Bishop Sheridan issue had to do with his use of the word pro-life in the context only of stem cell research and abortion at a time when those were not only the hot issues in the presidency, but also in a hotly contested Senate race. That's the only bishop, by the way.
And how about the election currently underway, the hotly contested presidential primary, and Reverend Wright and Michael Flager and everyone at the pulpit of this most famous church in your denomination uses their pulpit sermon to mock and ridicule Republican politicians and candidates and to support Democratic liberal ones.
Well, I don't know if Father Flager did that. He did something that was stupid.
How about Hillary? He was mocking Hillary,
who was battling with Obama,
a church member.
I don't make the rules for the IRS.
But that's not coded language, Barry? Couldn't you say to the
IRS,
my own church?
It's very direct language. It's very direct about her, but it doesn't use words that are important for the IRS, like support so-and-so or you must never vote for so-and-so. That's the kind of language the IRS wants. If you're breaking the law, you know.
Hey, Gary, have you ever filed a complaint against the United Church of Christ?
To my knowledge, no, because...
Because it's your denomination and you're biased in the application of the law.
Do you think, really, that I would file a complaint against the church in Nevada?
Yeah, because it's a token. Yeah, those are token complaints. So you could say that.
So that you can say that you're not biased.
How many United Church of Christ are there in the country?
I don't know at this point how many there are.
Hundreds?
Oh, thousands.
Do they tend to be very active in the social gospel?
Most of them, although not all.
And you're a member of their denomination, and it's never come across your path that your own denomination violates the regulations you claim they should abide by.
Well, first of all, give me some credit here. I do talk with the officials of the United Church of Christ. I do warn them about what the law is. I send letters, by the way, to every church in America that has an address every election cycle saying, be careful about this, liberal, conservative, I don't care who it is, saying get your own advice from your own lawyers about what you can and cannot do, because there's so much that you can do in exposing congregations to issues, to inviting people, whether they show up or not, from a variety of perspectives.
We're speaking with Barry Lynn, the director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Barry, I have asked the elder board of our church, Denver Bible Church, if we could participate with the ADF, Alliance Defense Fund. They have a pulpit initiative in September,
right,
where they're encouraging the pastors in 50 churches across the country to exert their God-given, inalienable, non-transferable right to free speech and preach an overtly political sermon on September 28th. And I'm praying that the elders of Denver Bible Church agree, and we've already contacted the ADF, and we said, please consider Denver Bible Church in the running for this, the defense of free speech in opposition to censorship that comes from liberals like Barry Lynn.
Yeah, well, the Alliance Defense Fund is luring a lot of churches. I hope your leadership of your church understands the risk that you're putting yourself under. By the way, you can't just be political in the sense you might want to preach against abortion, preach against gay marriage. That's not enough.
You, how about this, Barry?
I assume you're prepared to say, are you prepared to say, vote for somebody?
How about this? What if it's 100 years from now and an Adolf Hitler twin is running for the presidency?
Yeah.
Would you prefer that all ministers in the land not say in their church, don't vote for him, he wants to slaughter the Jews? Would you prefer that kind of America?
No, I'd prefer the kind of America that would never
nominate Adolf Hitler
in the first place.
It happened in Germany, the most sophisticated, civilized nation
in
Europe.
You know why it happened there?
A century ago.
I actually know a lot about this. You know, one of the reasons
I don't want to change the topic. Okay. You prefer that kind of America where the pastors would not say, don't vote for a Hitler twin. You prefer that kind of America?
No, I would prefer one whose members of those church would be told from the beginning of their life in that church, when the first time they go to Sunday school, that you have to respect other people, that you do not harm other people,
Barry,
do not kill other people.
We're almost out of time. How about labor unions? How about they're tax exempt, right?
No, but they have.
Are they allowed to speak on political issues?
But they have a different. Actually, they do have a different.
How about the Chamber of Commerce?
How about chambers?
How about chambers of commerce, labor unions, chambers of commerce? They are tax exempt, and they are allowed to engage in political speech. And you don't oppose that because you're biased. You want to use the government as a club to stop conservative Christians from speaking.
No, I'd be just as happy if they didn't have that right either. I don't think this is no
guarantee. How about just free speech, Barry, because it's inalienable. So you think the right to free speech.
You don't believe that.
Let me ask you this. I do.
You should be able to sell Penthouse magazine down at the corner candy store, do you?
I believe.
You're not a free speech
absolutist. Barry, no, I believe the right to free speech is inalienable, that it comes from God, and no one could agree to a contract that sells away their right to free speech. Let me ask you this. Does the right to free speech come from God or the government? Where does it come from, according to Barry Lynn?
Actually, comes from the government. I hate to tell you, but the way it's
Barry,
framed.
Barry, you're a traitor to Jesus Christ.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's our creator, Gary. He's the one who gave you the right to life and the right to own property. Rights don't come from the government. If they did, the government could say that you could own blacks and kill Jews.
No, because the rights that are granted by governments also guarantee that those rights will not be violated by people.
We're out of time, Barry, but thank you for making your argument.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Appreciate that. Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Maranatha, may God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Inyart. Thanks for listening to our debate with Barry Lynn. I have been hosting Bob Inyart Live for 17 years, 5 days a week, and I invite you to tune in Monday through Friday live at 5 o'clock Eastern, online at kgov.com, or anytime. You could go back through our archives, search for different topics, and guests. Now, so that you could listen to the debate, right at the beginning of the show, we took out the intro segment. Before Barry Lynn came on the show, we had an opening segment, and we're going to play that for you right now. May God bless you. The topic of the day seems to be censorship and return of the censors, where we have in Canada a trial before a court with the title British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, accusing a magazine of a crime of, well, writing about Islam. They wrote in an article that Islam threatens Western values. And so this magazine, Maclean's Magazine, is now up before the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal. We think that's the kind of thing that could only happen where? In another country? We have in New Mexico, Christians who own a photography business. They take photos at weddings, and homosexuals came to them and said, we want you to videotape, take photos of our homosexual wedding with two people of the same gender kissing and so on and dancing. And they said, no, we believe that's wrong. We believe that's harmful. We're concerned about you as our neighbors. We love you. We want to let you know it's wrong. We don't want to be enablers. No, we won't do that. And so that business was fined $6,600. Should have been $666, I think. Should have been the fine. But $6,600 in Colorado, Senate Bill 200. Senate Bill 200 is a government censorship law, which we've quoted here on this show. I've got a list of organizations and leaders who are going to fight Senate Bill 200. It's a growing list. Kevin Swanson, the director of CHECK, Christian Home Educators of Colorado. They have thousands of homeschool families, members of CHECK. Representative Kevin Lundberg, strong opponent in the Colorado House. Janet Folger, Faith to Action. She's the one who held the values voters debate. Mark Hotelling, Christian Coalition of Colorado. That's exciting. Brian Rohrbaugh, president of American Right to Life. Chuck Gosnell with Christian Family Alliance of Colorado. Then we have Steve Curtis, former Colorado Republican Party chairman and the head of LifeCommercials.com, headquartered in Colorado. Don Miller with Maranatha Christian Center, 500 students in Arvada, Colorado. Leslie Hanks, vice president, Colorado Right to Life. Other Christian leaders have been invited by this group to join them in fighting Senate Bill 200, which is a government censorship law telling Christians that we cannot publish our teachings on cohabitation, people living together without being married, and on homosexuality. If those teachings, we can't publish them, we can't advertise them, we can't make pamphlets and distribute them, we can't print books and sell them, if that distribution is in any way involved with any place of public accommodation in Colorado, other than there's an exception for churches. Is that exception, does that mollify us? Is that exception a blessing? So many Christians at first take, they get confused and they think, well, there's an exception for Christians. Just imagine if a law passed that said you cannot preach the gospel except in church. You cannot distribute a gospel tract except in church. You cannot sell a Bible except in church. That wouldn't be the beginning of persecution against Christians. That would be a step far down the road of official persecution of the body of Christ. So here in Colorado, they've just passed a law. Bill Ritter signed it May 29th, Senate Bill 200, stating that it is forbidden to publish discriminative matter regarding cohabitation, marital status, and homosexuality, sexual orientation, if it is intended to discriminate in any right, any privilege, any convenience, and on and on and on. So churches are exempted. Does that make you feel good? It shouldn't, because being a Christian is not an affirmative defense. Being a Christian is not an affirmative defense. And so this is happening in Canada. This is happening in New Mexico. This is happening right here in Colorado. And I thank God. We've been talking to Christian attorneys in Colorado and out of state. Everyone we have talked to has said, we want to fight this fight. We want to be in the battle. How can we help? And so praise God that there is a determination by Christians to stand up for their rights. Some Christians tend to be oblivious, and they fall through time and space. They don't quite know what's going on around them. But the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he wasn't oblivious. And when his rights were being violated, he took it to court. He fought in the defense of his rights as a citizen. Why would he do that? What does that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Christians are not doormats. We are to do what we can to protect the lives and the livelihood, the standard of living of our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our husband, wife. I don't want my kids growing up in a country where it's required that you abort your second child. And you know that Planned Parenthood has always praised China's population control program, even though in China they're not pro-choice. They mandate killing, aborting the second child. They've outlawed siblings, brothers and sisters in China. They've outlawed that. So could that happen here in this country? Well, who would have thought that Republican judges would strike down homeschooling? Who would have thought that a Republican judge would rule that under God in the pledge is unconstitutional? Who would have thought that Republican judges would mandate homosexual marriage? Who would have thought that Republican judges would require nationwide states to allow people to kill unborn children? Who would have thought these things? Hey, thanks for tuning in. Our website is kgov.com. Please stay with us. Stand with us with the battle against SB 200 and for personhood at Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school.